That's why the Bible told us that we should make sure that the things we hear, we keep them lest they slip from us. I have learned this from my early days as a Christian. Messages I've preached in the 1970s are still with me. What I do sometimes is to bring out those things from the archive and look at the topics and try to study them again. Many times I laugh at myself. Is this all I knew when I was going around with them? But that shows that I have grown a little bit from where I was then. So if you keep record of what you hear, it has a way of checking you and checking your growth. So tonight, I'm going to teach something that I believe is needed in a time like this. The price of honor. The price of honor. See, every one of us want to be something, want to be somewhere, want to achieve some things, but nobody want to pay a price. You want God to move in your life, you want God to do extraordinary things, but there are prices to pay. And those are the things I want to talk about today. This started with one of my students coming to me and asking this question. I've not been able to answer that question till today because it was a big challenge. He said to me, "Sir, I would like you to tell me the price you pay to get to where you are today, because I would like to be like you." That threw a big challenge on me. I said to him, "Listen, go to the Word of God. But the question you ask, I cannot tell you specific price I pay. But what I can tell you that I give attention to God's Word. Because that's the key." So that actually caused me to begin to search. What are the prizes of honor? You have a church that does not preach from books, but preach from the book. And many times, they don't seem to be entertaining. It hurts. Many times you are told what you don't want to hear because it's hard. But if you understand where you are heading to, the journey you are in, where we are going to, you will love to actually listen to every one of them. For a child to grow, a child to walk, that child pays some price. You get up, fall. Get up, sometimes get bruises. But it's only trying to walk. When he tried to run, he has price to pay. Maybe he fall really hard. Every stage of your growth has prices. So if you desire honor from God, there are prices to pay. It doesn't just come overnight. Honor is not an award. It is either won or earned. It's not just something they carry and give to you. You either win it or you earn it. You can't see anyone that they honored in our world today that did not do something. Today, your president hosted those who went to circle the moon. I don't know what is in the mind of those guys. A place where no human being has ever lived. You just enter into something, millions and millions of gallons of petrol and blast into the orbit where you have no control. If anything happens, that's it. But those people deserve honor, and that's what they got today. If you listen to the Apollo 11, I think that's one that actually touched the moon. he has honor. His family, his descendants will continue to enjoy that honor. Because when they mention, I am this, they give them the respect they deserve because they want it and earn it. Paul says something in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. For now, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of Jesus Christ. I bear in my body the mark of Jesus Christ. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that's why I say you should write it. You can read it when you get back home. From verse 4, he said this, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand, on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. If you look at this, you find out that this man have gone through some things. Great men who write their name on the sand of history are not men who just went through elementary school. They are people who conquer obstacles, who defeat fears to enter what no one has ever done. They endure pain to see the end of their enemies because they are people that deserve honor. In Africa, we have one, Nelson Mandela. Every one of you know the story of Nelson Mandela. Spent 27 good years of his life in prison, and yet come out and was as loving as anything. Today, his name is etched on the sand of history. In this country, Martin Luther King, who have a dream of equality, today his name is etched. I had the privilege of visiting the memorial in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was so fascinated with the kind of things I saw there. Some of those things that are there, his sermon book, he was a Baptist pastor. His sermon books, his notes are now in the, you know, in the airport at Atlanta. If you are going out, you see them on the wall. The founding fathers of this nation. I watched yesterday, you know, the parade of the people honoring the King of England. And I was wondering in my head, America got independent from England, but England needs support from America to survive. What went wrong? But I was watching the march and all those people, and I was telling Pastor Shane, these guys that carry the flag and stand as if they are not human beings, don't they faint? Because they just stand there as if they don't move. They are men that deserve honor. But what are the prizes of honor? What are the foundations we should lay for honor? Because I don't want to go to heaven to admire people's crown. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to go to heaven to, hey, that guy has a crown and has stars on it. I want people to see mine. But what is the price I should pay to get to that honor? That's the subject of our discussion tonight. I want to look at number one. It's found in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel proposed in his heart, that he will not defile himself with the king's luxury, the king's delicacies. If you read the next verse, he found favor. Daniel chapter 6, 3 to 5. Let me read it. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because of the excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over all the realm, the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find charges against him, Daniel, against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But listen to this statement. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, the only thing you can do to get Daniel to stick out is if you ask him to offend his God. Daniel is going to say no. What do you call it? Character. So number one in building a road to honor is to build good character. Can we say it together? Build good character. Character is not just born. You are born with good character. Every one of us have very weird, polluted backgrounds. But when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you begin to build something that is not natural to you. You begin to build something that is completely unnatural to your being as a person. Daniel determined to make sure that everything he was given to do, he is faithful. Because excellent spirit was in him. For faithfulness is one of the things that help us build character. Because if you are faithful in everything you have been given to do or you are called to do, either by God or by men, you build a consistency that will lead you to something greater. So I always tell people there are three key things that help in building characters. Three. One is the fear of God. You cannot build character without the fear of God. If God is not the object of your worship, is not the person that you look at, is not the person you consider in anything you do, you cannot be faithful. So everything about us have to be the fear of God. The fear of God was what make, Joseph said, I cannot do this to offend God. Because sometimes in your life you choose to do something and you say, no, because God will not be happy about it, I will not do it. The fear of God. Second ingredient is personal discipline. A determination to be who God wants you to be. And that is something you decide to do yourself. Intentionally deciding to please God at all times. Personal discipline. Personal discipline was what helped Daniel. Think of a slave who have no choice, had the privilege to be in the palace, and they were giving him royal dishes. You've not seen where royalty serve food. You almost kill yourself with food. Because even the dishes they will use to serve it, it's enough. Just looking at them, it's enough to fill you up. The environment, everything Daniel could not find in his country when he was free was given to him. But Daniel said, no, I will not eat it because I don't want to defile myself with the king's food. I don't know what is in it. I know the law of our God. Personal discipline. Number three, ingredients that help build character is consistency. If you are consistent with your faith, consistent with your confession, consistent with your service, consistent with your everything about you, you are building a character that cannot be defied. Don't forget these three things. The ingredients that will build character in every, either in the natural world or in the business life or in the, you know, life as a person, is depends on these three things: the fear of God, personal discipline, consistency. The fear of God is actually directed to God and His word. My discipline is that whatever God says, I do it. And then you find consistency is that what I am when I'm sleeping is the same thing when I am when I am awake. I'm consistent. My faith is steady. People know just from day one that you cannot do this. Daniel cannot bow down. In fact, when they decree, Daniel, if anybody pray for the next 30 days, he's going to go into the lion's den. I love the completeness of the Bible. See, and Daniel knew that the decree has been signed. What did he do? He went to his house and prayed like ever before. Consistency. And they caught him. Yeah, we got him. And they took him to the lion's den and tried to dispose of him. For the first time, human being has an all-night prayer with lions. The lions were all around him, and then Daniel was there overnight. The king, who don't even know God, went to fast and pray because of his life. If Daniel's life had no value, the king would not deny himself of food for that night, deny himself of music. But he saw a value, you know, life, a life that is well valued, that has helped him build everything around his kingdom. Fear of God, personal discipline, and consistency. Number two thing that helps us actually prepare for honor, the price of honor, perseverance. Ability to endure. You know, sometimes in ministry or in service, there are hard moments. There are moments that you know that it's only God that will help you. I experienced some of those times in my life. I remember going for a very big crusade. My people have advertised this crusade is so huge. We're expecting thousands of people to come. But a week to the time, I fell sick. It was so bad that I could hardly walk. A doctor, one of my sons in the Lord, had to come to my house to stay, to make sure he keep everything he want to do to make sure that the sickness go wasn't going away. Then it came to the day of the crusade. I was still with IV. And I have to travel about 120 kilometers to the crusade from my house. All my team has gone advanced. People have gone. They have set up everything. But the preacher is sick. So, my senior staffs came to me. These are men who have been with me for years. Sir, we can handle this. We want you to stay home. I said, no. I said to them, it's better to finish preaching and die than to die as a coward. I said, because I know what the whole thing is all about. It's about the souls. The contention is about the souls of the people that will be saved. And I'm not ready to give in for that. So the doctor packed his things, removed the IV, and I went into the car and we drove off. My driver got to the crusade and look at crowd. It was huge. I'm not sure if I stand up, I'll be able to stand for about 2 minutes. I wasn't sure. So I came down from the car, carefully held the car, and I was standing like that. And this was a big shout. You know what? He has arrived. Now, who is that? There's no energy. There's no strength. There's nothing. But I just said one short prayer. God, it's only you I depend upon. So I managed to climb up to the podium and sat down. And the doctor sat by my side. In case there's anything, so we take you out. So I sat there praying, asking God, this has to happen. This has to happen. When I was introduced, I stood up, carefully walked to the podium and leaned on the podium, thanking all the people who have come, who set up the crusade, the committees, the churches in the town. And I had something by my side, my back of my head, like a lightning. So I thought somebody touched me. I turned, and there was nobody. Before I could turn my face, the second, and I just find something that I removed my hand from the podium and preached for 1 hour, 45 minutes. I was sweating, but I was preaching. When I came down from that pulpit, the sickness was over. That was one day I see God do some amazing things. I was going to enter my car. A lady took her son, who was deaf and dumb, to stand by my car. In other words, there's no way you can get into the car until you pray for my son. So I turned to one of my staff, one of my pastors, said, pray for this young man. And he put his hand and prayed. Boom. God healed. That one went crazy because he has never experienced a miracle like that. The woman was happy. My pastor was dancing and shouting because himself, God have used him to do something. Entered the car and went home. The doctor asked me, what happened? I said, the people from heaven came. When the people from heaven come in response to your consistency, your perseverance, miracle happens. And that is why there are prices to pay in serving God. I've spoken here the last time I was here about acceptable service. Not all services are acceptable. There are people who serve with grumbling. They grumble. It's not acceptable because your service should be from your heart. And if it's from your heart, there's no grumbling. You are happy doing it because you know the reward about it. So perseverance is one of the things that your ability to endure. And let me ask you, how much can you endure before you give in to the will of your position? How much? How much can you stretch? How much insult can you take as a result of your faith before you change your position? How much can you endure when people you labor or you are laboring to help and to raise betray you? How much? Perseverance. We will all face those stabbing from the back. You know, when God gave us armor, he gave us all the armor in the front. There was nothing at the back. Because he was not expecting you to turn your back against the enemy. But there are people who the Bible call false brethren who will stab you from behind. How much can you endure? When you look at the face of the person who betrayed you, is somebody you have actually labored to lift up? How much can you endure? But when you persevere, the Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In other words, God anticipates that we will face some problems, some obstacles. In perseverance, there are things that we need to do. There are things we need to... Paul said, "Don't look, I have mark of Jesus Christ on me." You know those mark, he told us all the betrayers are there. You know, false brethren, all kinds of things. When people misunderstand you, your good intention is misunderstood and miscarried. And you find out you get angry, you get hot. Don't forget that the object of your service is the kingdom of God. And if it's the kingdom of God, there's nothing to be afraid about. There's nothing to be worried about. You see, there are certain things that you don't have to argue about when it comes to your relationship with God. Because the devil cannot sit by and clap for you. Every step of your climbing has challenges. That's why 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, great and effectual door have been opened, but there are adversaries. There are enemies. Enemies who will try to taunt you and try to accuse you and try to say all kinds of things about you. How much can you endure? But you cannot get honor without paying that price. Those who warriors that come, they give medal, are people who actually come from. We were watching something last night I sat and I was watching this dog, you know, with one of the Navy SEAL. And the movie was, he challenged me so strongly. Especially when they realized that there was going to be an ambush, and he said, I'll go check it out. That may be his life. And he was able to neutralize whatever is there, and then he's now coming out to say, you know, tell us the story. Otherwise, he wouldn't live to tell the story. He's telling the story because he has become a hero. He's telling the story because he has honor. Number three is courage. You pay the price. Courage is not just something that you courage comes out of conflict. You see, I ask people, I say, be careful what you pray about. How many of us have ever prayed and said, God, give me patience? You know what you're asking for? Trouble. Because there's no way you can get patience without trouble. All right? Oh, God, give me endurance. Huh. Somebody is going to offend you again and again and again. Each time you react, God say, endure. Because that's the only way. It's not just somebody who offend you once. That doesn't give endurance. Endurance is something that has become a habit. Somebody now you take joy in making sure it provoke you, and you endure it, you smile over it. That's what it is. And you find out that you come to a point where you say, I know my Redeemer liveth. You remember Job? You remember that when everything happened, Job was, people say, preach all kinds of things they preach, but I take what God says. Job was perfect, a man who hate evil, a man who is consistent, a man who loved God. So I don't care what anybody says about it. I take the testimony of God. But you know what? When that happened, what was the goal the devil wanted? So that Job can deny God. That was the whole argument. The first person who suggested that was his wife. So why not you just curse God and die? Why are you still holding your integrity? And Job, look at that. You know, that would take courage to say. You know, you talk like some people that are not thinking. Can we just enjoy everything and not suffer a little bit for God? His friends visited. For 7 days, they were so stunned that they couldn't talk. And they began to spill all kinds of hatred against, all kinds of accusations against him. They spill everything on him. And Job said these two words, two sentences. One is in chapter 13, the other one is chapter 19. What he said is, he said, even though he stamp upon me, even though he trample upon me, I will yet trust in him. Consistency, endurance, courage. Even though he trample upon me, even though he harass me, I will still love him. And he said, because I know my Redeemer liveth. That knowledge of who God is, that knowledge of where he's heading to, help him overcome everything. And that is strong courage. Courage is not the absence of trouble. But courage is the ability to walk through the trouble smiling. Courage is not the absence of pain. You know, but courage is the ability to walk through the pain without accusing God. Courage is not the absence of challenges. But courage sees opportunities in every challenge. Every challenge I face, I try to find opportunity in it, and that helped me remove the pain. What is God trying to do? But it is the ability to keep your head up in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the flood, in the midst of pain and challenges. You keep your head up and smile as if nothing is happening. That's what it is. And that is what God rewards. that stability, that consistency is what God rewards. And let me tell you some of the things that I wrote down under this. There will be oppositions and battles and challenges along the way. No doubt about that. No matter how smooth your life is, no matter how great your life is, there must be moments that you have to question your faith sometimes. But look at what God said to Joshua. Have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Did I sat down to think about this? If God would tell somebody be strong and of good courage, means he knew that there's something in the front that is going to be tough. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed, but the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He knows what is up there. You know, sometimes I don't understand how you know, sometimes you can accuse God, but there are sometimes I ask God, why did you do this? He said, Moses, go and tell them that let my people go. But you know what? He's not going to listen to you, but go anyway. Moses will go there, and the man will promise, as Moses leave, nothing. And God sent him back. And God knew he's not going to listen to him. He should have snuck him once. Uh-uh. Every one of those steps is building Moses' faith. Is building Moses' courage. Is teaching Moses to obey every word God says. Is showing Moses different levels of God's power and ability. So he could have said, God, I'm not going again, because you know he's not going to answer. But Moses obeyed every one of them. Second thing I wrote down there is this. There will be lonely and fearful moments in the journey. I mean, where it looked like every brother, every sister, every relation, everybody is far away, but they are near. You don't seem to get any comfort from anywhere. You are like in the wilderness, alone in your spirit, struggling. It's like everything forgot you. But all of a sudden you hear God say, I am with you. At that moment, it's only teaching you how to be alone with him. Because if you understand that God wants some attention. Maurice Rillo was teaching us in the class 1980 in San Diego, and he said he went to Haiti, and when he got there, the president came to receive him, and he was going, and all of a sudden he had this cramp on his stomach, and he tried to brace it. No way. He was struggling. And God said to him, pull out of the convoy and go to your hotel. He said, God, but the president is the convoy. He said, go, you came here for me. Pull out of the convoy, go to your hotel. And he pulled out of the convoy and went to his hotel. As he got to his hotel, he said, he threw himself on the ground and said, God, what is this? And the cramp stopped. And God said, I just want your attention. There are people who have vowed to kill you tonight in that audience. But I'm going to do something with you. Every word you say will be like I said it. See, from that moment, his mouth like gagged. He couldn't talk. You know, because if God says every word you say, it means that he can spill it against his enemies and God will kill all of them. But God gagged his mouth. So they got to the crusade. There was this huge crowd, and both the president, all the officials were on the pulpit and all that, to welcome him, and he started preaching. He said, as a human being, when I heard those sound, I thought the time has come. So I just had boom, 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 different places, and that sound came. And all of a sudden, he saw a big rumbling in the middle. Because the crowd was so much, he didn't know what was going on. He was still talking, but they were passing somebody from top. A man who was completely crippled, God healed, and they passed him onto the stage. And the man sitting by him says, oh my God, it's my neighbor. And it was the person who is supposed to give command for what will happen to him. God healed somebody in his neighborhood that he could see, and that changed his life Sometimes God allow you to walk lonely so that you can see him as your partner, and then you can come out with his word. Whenever that happens, understand God wants your attention, because there will be a moment of loneliness, moment that it looks like everything is falling apart, but God is still there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But he's training a hero. The Bible says something. David said to his son in 1 Corinthians 28 verse 20, said, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Difficulties will come. There will be moments of confusions and distractions in the journey. Oh, yeah. Moments that you'll be distracted with things around you. There were things that were happening to me, and I begin to ask God, "What is this?" He said, "Those are distractions. I don't care how and what he does in my body, but one thing I know is that this gospel must be preached. Because I know each time I defile it, God heals. He's still a healer. He's still a healer." Psalm 27 said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost my heart unless I have believed in the Lord, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." That is strong word. There will be moments of discouragement and feeling of spiritual exhaustion. There will be moments where you are like, "I'm tired. I can't do this anymore." That is when faith is needed. That is where courage is needed. That is where you should push higher, harder. Because you are almost coming out of the darkness. And you know when it's darkest? The day comes. In Psalm 31 verse 24, "Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all who hope in him." Because courage is actually hope. Courage is hope. Because you can't have courage without having something you are looking up to. There will be moments of doubt. You question your spiritual life. You question whether God answers prayers. He does. God answers prayers. This is what I know. You can pray about a thing and it lasts about 2 months or 3 months before it comes. There are two things. God can do a miracle instantly. God can do a recovery. A recovery is gradual. And we just want it like this all the time. God doesn't walk with our own time. He walks in his own time. And if we know that, those moments of doubt are the moments you have to actually praise God more. Those are prizes of honor. See, what brings a man honor is the ability to face challenges without compromise. That's where courage comes. Ability to face challenges without compromise. I will still stand my faith. It is the quality of materials of a product that gives the lasting glory of that product. It's not this like this country, you have standards, you have measures, your specs are great. In my country, you can buy a drug and there's nothing inside. Fake. You'll be taking malaria medicine and malaria will be growing. So you have to be able to look well to see which one is right. Because you see different species and have different prices. Find the one that is more expensive, because that will do the job. But people look for the cheap ones. But it doesn't work that way. A Christian faith must be preserved. A hero is known by how many scars he carries as a memorial of his battle. How many scars as a memorial of his battle? He will tell you, I was fighting so and so, I got this. I was like this, I got that. They can point something to you. And I ask you the question, if they send you to court, if they sue you to court as a Christian, will they find enough evidence to convict you? Do you understand what I just asked? As a Christian, they expect that you do this, do this, and do that. As a Christian, if you send you to court, just because you're a Christian, will they find you guilty because you pray too much? Will they find you guilty because you are righteous? Will they find you guilty because you are faithful? Will they find enough evidence to prosecute you that you are? That was what happened to Daniel. They found an evidence. Evidence is that Daniel refused to obey the king because he prayed to his God every day, even when the king gave a decree. That's all. That's all the conviction. He didn't do anything wrong. The Bible said they found him faithful in everything they do. Number four of the prize, humility and the fear of God. See, the fear of God come back again. Humility and the fear of God. The key to elevation is the respect for God, his word, the leading of his spirit, and for those who have achieved greatness before you. The key to elevation in anything, either in a natural life or in our businesses, is the ability to have respect for whosoever is in charge. And you are able to respect his word and respect his directions and look up to those who have actually advanced ahead of you. That is where you become somebody that everybody looks for. The same way in Christian life. If you're able to understand who God is and you follow his word delicately, religiously, consistently, and you completely consecrate yourself to him, to the leading of his spirit, and you seek for wisdom and counsel for those who are ahead of you in Christian faith, you are building something that will last. Because that is where elevation comes. That is where righteousness comes. Psalm 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. You think they are treating you wrongly? No. They are training you. Proverbs 18 verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, pride and arrogance. And before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4. He said, by humility and the fear of God are riches, honor and life. Proverbs 19:23. I love this scripture. If I were you, I would write it down. Read it all the time. It has so much value. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it abides in satisfaction and will not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it abides in satisfaction. He will not be visited by evil. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye young men, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. Now look at this. Why is God repeating this for us again and again and again? Because man is actually rebellious in nature. There is nothing you can say about man is rebellious in nature. I mean, we try to have our way. Have you raised teenagers who will tell you that this is what I want? You battle through. Sometimes they walk out on you because they want to find their identity. But by humility, they get more from you than any other person. One of my granddaughter, anything she asks, she gets it. Anything. Because she is so humble. Today she's in a university. While I was there, Grandpa, I don't have this, I don't have this. Have it. Why? I don't have that opportunity. Nobody give that to me. But if I'm alive, I should be able to give it to them. And that's why I pray, God, give me a long life to treat them well. Because I wasn't treated well. Humility and the fear of the Lord is the key to honor. And number five, honoring God with who you are and what you do. The only way you get honor is, I respect God in this, either in my secular life or in my Christian life. I respect God in doing everything I do. If I respect God, when they ask me to do something wrong, I say no. If I respect God, I tell them, this is God and this is what I want to do, and I will please God. I will talk about him anywhere I go. It means making strategic decisions to honor God with our lives and work. Paul says, I count everything that I have achieved as nothing. As nothing. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is strategic. That is something that he know. You know, being a doctor of the law, he know exactly every in and out of his bed. I count them as nothing. Let me learn as a baby. There are many of us that pastor will be preaching and you are writing sermons. This is why I will preach it. That doesn't look to me like somebody who is receiving anything. But how long ago have you cried before God? Because you are convicted by his word. How long ago? How long ago have you been on your knees and tears will come down because you experience the awe of God's presence? How long ago? How long ago have you come to a point where you say, you know, I'm going to do this for the kingdom of God without being asked? How long ago? Those are the things that actually generate honor. I'm doing what I'm doing because I know. There was a place I was invited to preach. You know, until 1983, I have never known what they call love offering. I have never preached and they give me anything. I just preach and go. From 1975 to 1983, I don't know what love offering means. So I was in Day's church. And after I preached, three times I preached and they gave me $600. I said, for what? I said, it's your love offering. That's the first time I had that. I was so proud. It's like, oh, there's money. I was so happy that I got that. And I began to see God do something. So I made up my mind that anywhere I go, as God give me things, my equipments, I bought them from my love offerings. Equipments in my church, I'll buy them and take them home. I'm not talking about putting it in my... I buy them and take them home. Let me tell you, you cannot outgive God. Never. I will keep doing this and doing this and doing this, and then you find out one day God began to bless me in such a way that I was able to build a house. The church didn't build me a house. God just brought people around. And I bought a car. It was God who used people. When I bought the car I bought first have no engine. Has no motor inside. It doesn't work. So, but it had a gearbox. So I started building it. I just called a mechanic and I'll be buying parts a little, and they build this engine. It has no tire. It goes this way. So my friends visited me in 1986 from New York. Three Americans. They visited me. They stayed in my house. There was no other place. I don't have money to put them in a hotel. They stay in my house. So I bought one AC second hand that doesn't work, but they just made noise and then blew a little air into them. They stayed in my house and they were happy. So when I'm driving and the car does like this, one of them said, "Your car rocks." I said, "Yeah, that's it rocks. That's all. I don't have another one, and I'm proud of it." But you know what? I was in my house. Somebody came to laugh at me. I taught him in Bible school, and he was riding a Mercedes Benz. So he came to my house to tell me I'm a disgrace to them because I'm riding an old car. How will you feel? So he was talking. He came with his wife, came with his personal assistant. I don't have a personal assistant. Came with his driver. I don't have a driver. I don't have a car. I don't have a driver. So he, after talking, I looked at him. I said, "I saw something like a foolish person, somebody who has no sense." So I said to him, "You know, I want to tell you how many landed property I've bought for the church in this town. I'm not going to go outside Warri. I'm going to tell you the one I have in Warri for the church." I said, "This land, you know, the house we are building, this is how much I've been spent." I pointed all the landed properties we have inside the very city I live in, Warri. We have 8 churches in Warri with their buildings. Inside Warri with their buildings. Just one city, 8 of them are inside the same city. Why? Because transportation is a challenge. So I have to get the land there, build a church for them, so that they don't have to walk too long to get to church. That was how I did it in Warri. So I told him, I said, "I'm not going to outside the state." And after I said it, I said, "How many Mercedes Benz would that buy?" He left my house sober. Because he came to insult me, but I turned the insult to a classroom for him. So I told him, "Where you have your church?" He said, "He rented the land and built a temporary church." I said, "Now, if they ask you to live there," I didn't know I was prophesying. "If they ask you to live there, where will your church hold? In your Mercedes Benz?" So he left. A month after, they asked him to leave where he was. And he had to start struggling to now find a place to build his church. He learned a big lesson. So sometimes when you are doing things for God, don't question yourself. Don't think you are stupid. You are putting it as a treasure, a place where never lack. That's why anything that God gives to me, I give. Put it out. Put it out. Because the more I do that, the more happy I am, knowing that I'm fulfilling a destiny. If not Jesus, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I fly around everywhere. I drive in at home. I'm never home. Let me give you just this year. It is the fourth month, right? This year, the first was a retreat of 1 week with all my pastors out of my house. We were in the Project Hope. All my pastors, including my wife, we were all there for 1 week. That was over. Then we have a medical outreach. A medical outreach that saw almost 900 people every day. And then they treated 646. And their medicines and everything was paid for. People think I'm stupid. No, I'm not. So into the kingdom. Then, we finished that a week after that conference was the graduation of Project Hope. I'm talking about this year. Project Hope graduation finished, and I went straight to camp meeting, 2nd to 6th of April. Camp meeting, you know how it is. It's crazy. It's a lot of people come. We start 8 o'clock in the morning, actually 7:45 in the morning, and end at 6 in the evening. no going up. We all stay there and eat. Different speakers will come, different workshops, every day for 5 days. It finished on the 6th. On the 7th, that was my way to Project Hope, to make sure I arrange everything for them because I'm going to travel. Came back to my house on the 7th. On the 8th, I jumped into the plane. I went to Lagos. Here am I, right? I arrived this country 2 days before the conference, so there was no time to rest. I'm still catching. I thank you very much for giving me beautiful place to rest, because I have been resting since I came. I mean, this was the first time I stepped out of the house since Monday. I've been laying down, just lay down and rest. Because when I get up there, it's crazy. So the question is, why am I doing this? Am I doing it because I have no job? No. There is need. There is something that will urge you. Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of God. Honoring God with who you are and what you do. So if what you do does not honor God, it doesn't have a reward. If I'm going to give, I ask God something. What am I going? I went to a place, they invited me to a place to preach. I entered the place, was to raise funds for this church. So I entered the place and God said to me, don't take anything from this place, but give them. Okay. I came from about 120 kilometers. God said, don't do it. So I said, I sat. I finished preaching and this young man was trying to put an envelope like honorarium for me. I said, no. So I wrote something for him. I said, I'll send you this when I get home. He said, sir, I invited you to come. I said, you invited me to come. You didn't invite me. God invited me to come. And God asked me not to take anything from you, but I should give you. To me, it's like, I don't know why God does that, but you know what? He is preparing somebody else who is coming to minister to me. I don't know whether it's here I told you, or it was the man I told about my wife telling me there's nothing in this house, right? When a woman tell you in Africa there's nothing in this house, there's nothing, it means there's no food, there's no money. So I woke up that morning, I was to go to the office, my wife said, there's nothing in this house. I said, okay. So she was expecting me to open my bag. I didn't have money. There was nothing. So I carried my bag to go. She said, did you hear what I just said to you? I said, I heard. You told me there's nothing in this house. I'm going to tell my boss. You have told me I'm your boss, right? So I'm going to tell my boss that there's no food in my house because we have an agreement. Our agreement is, be about my business, I'll be about your business. So if that is agreement, I'm going to tell him. So I got to the office and I sat down in my chair. I told my secretary, I don't want to see anybody now. So I was just sitting there. I said, God, my wife said there's nothing in the house. So I just folded my hand. I was sitting there thinking, there's nothing in this house. Just about an hour or so after, my wife called. Did you send anybody to the house? I said, no. He said, well, a brother came from another church. God didn't use the people I was ministering to. From someone I have not seen for over 3 years. God went to another church. He brought everything that is needed in my house and dumped it in my house and left. So my wife called me and said, did you send anybody? I said, I didn't send anybody. He said, but a brother from this church came and brought everything. I said, I told you I'm going to tell my boss. So I went to my boss and my boss provided. Simple things like that. What you do with your life and what you do for God matters. Those are the keys for honor. The motive behind them. Are you doing it to get attention or to get applause, or you are doing it to glorify God? Some people, when they do something or give something, and after that, you don't thank them, you don't bow down for them, you don't worship them, they leave. They won't give you again. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. You know what bothers me? They lose something. They lose very important key that will make them heroes. So it's important for us. Making strategic decisions like that is something that every one of us should do. I have told you of Daniel, the greatest honor we can give to God is to make him famous. Make God famous with our lives, with our work, with our attitude, with our giving, with our service, make him famous. That when God looked down in heaven, he will be smiling at you. That's my son, that's my daughter. You know, they are doing the work I asked them to do. He threw another one, you do it. He threw another one, you do it. And as you are doing it, God is being happy. His pleasure is taking pleasure in you and in what you do. You remember there's a song like that? Telling God, take pleasure in our lives. Take pleasure in what we do. And I pray that this will be something that you remember. Let it be something that will drive everything you say, everything you do, wherever you go, in any way you serve. Let the desire for honor drive it. And if it drives it, don't forget those three ingredients I share first. That is the fear of God, personal discipline, and consistency. They matter a lot. I'm going to pray, but I'll ask you to maybe give you a chance to ask questions. Is that okay, Pastor? But let me pray for you. I want you to lift your hands to God. This is a different level of prayers. Since I came here, I've been led to do this. Just lift your hand to God and commit yourself to God and to his service. Use your mouth. Tell God what you want him to do in your life. The kind of thing you want to see him exhibit from your life. Because it is going to be something that you will remember for life. That when you get to eternity, it doesn't fade. Tell God about what you want him to do and use you for. There are so many of you that have gifts, but you are hiding it. You have expertise that will help this church. You are hiding it. You have kind of talents that can help build departments in this. You are hiding it. Can't you just commit yourself to God today and say, God, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. I want to come to the pastor and ask him, how can I do this? How can I do this? Inconsistent with your vision. Father, I ask you, look at the hands that are up. I'm asking you, Father, to look down from heaven. That, Lord, every word that have been said, every thought that have gone through their heart at this moment, let it become a catalyst for revival in their lives. Let it become the fire that will burn. Let it become what will renew their zeal. Let it become what will give them a new understanding, a new level of joy, a new level of peace in their heart that they are doing something for the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask you that you meet with each and every one of them at the particular need of their time. Lord, I pray for every gift and talent you are giving to this church to begin to manifest and give them courage to begin to step up and say, I will do this for the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask you that your hand will come upon each and every one tonight, Father, that whatever we have desire from you, we will get it and we will run with it. Lord, I ask you, Father, for courage, for strength, for ability to endure no matter what happens, to remain consistent and to remain faithful. Lord, I ask you for grace upon each and everyone's life. And I pray, Lord, that you lift them from one level of commitment, one level of consecration, one level of faith to another level of faith. Thank you, my Father, for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us tonight. Break every yoke and every bondage. Break every barrier, every obstacle that will withhold us from achieving that goal in our lives of honor. I pray, Lord, that you remove it from us. Give us courage to stand for you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. All right. Is there any question? Maybe two questions. Anybody? Yes, thank you. The joy of the Lord. Any question? If no question, I turn it over to the pastor.
Amen. Amen. It's working. Huh. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody had to fight any battles, any obstacles, any opposition? I wanted to say so bad, Brother Thomas, when you were talking about courage. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Father, tonight we are grateful for Brother Thomas and for the impact that he's made not only on our church, but on our lives and on your kingdom. And I know, Lord, as he goes out from this place, Lord, that you're going to use him to change lives everywhere he goes. We pray your protection over him as he stands in long lines, as he rides on airplanes, as he gets into cars with people that he barely even knows, but that your divine protection would be on him. Lord, that you'd be with Gladys and the family and the church back home, Anchor of Hope. Lord, I pray that you would watch over them all. I pray that you would use him. I pray your anointing would never fade from him. I pray that what he has said to us, Lord, wouldn't just have been another nice little sermon, but that, Lord, we would take it from this place and that it would impact us and change our lives. That, Lord, you'd be glorified, that your church would be glorified, that your church would grow, that we would become a mighty army. And yes, we would reach Myrtle Creek. And yes,